welcome to The Sanctuary, a safe space to speak from the heart. I'm your host, Israel, and my guest today is someone I've been dying to talk to, artist, content creator, all-around really cool person. Oh, and the host of the Birds and the Bee podcast, Chelsea. Thanks for coming to the podcast today.
Hello.
Oh, man. First off, I love your show. And I just love how honest it is. It's so laid back. And you ask questions and I'm like, yes, I want to know that. And you get your guests really comfortable. So I'm going to start with that. Like, how do you get your guests so comfortable to share as much as they share on the Birds and the Bee?
I think, first of all, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's when we, my partner and I created the podcast, we wanted to have it to have a more casual, like cozy setup. And so, you know, the first way that we started that, and, you know, it's evolved over time, is just kind of creating a comfy and a cozy environment just physically. So, you know, in our later shows, we're kind of sitting on a floor with these like little, you know, floor chairs. We have blankets around. I'll also do kind of like a pre-show or pre-podcast like interview, just conversation, just to talk about, you know, what their aim is, because really we want to use the platform as a way for other creators and people in the poly communities just to have a space to kind of talk about things that they want to talk about. You know, there are so many different podcasts out there that are just trying to, they're very baity, you know, trying to like dunk on creators and sex workers. And we just really didn't want that. And so, yeah, the aim is just to kind of, when we preface it, like, don't feel pressure. I'll tell you the questions I'm going to ask. It's really just kind of a conversation. So I think just all of the background setup that we do just kind of creates the space where people feel like it's okay to maybe be vulnerable or just talk about, you know, casual things and just get their message out there. So I'm pretty proud of you know, what we've created thus far. And I really, I always come out of each conversation having learned a little bit and feeling more empathetic in certain ways. So it's nice to know that is felt across the screens.
No, yeah, it does come true. And I guess one thing I'm going to pick on is, you know, they're talking about the poly thing. We'll talk about that. But also, like, you know, shows that want to dunk on content creators, it's kind of like you are eating the thing and then you are saying it's bad. I don't understand. Like, I never did understand that. You can't consume the thing and then still like flagellate the people that are creating the thing. It didn't make sense to me.
It hasn't made
sense to me. Still doesn't make sense to me.
Yep.
Let's talk about poly. Like, how did you get into the poly lifestyle?
Yeah, so I was fully monogamous up until a few years ago when I met my current partner, Matt. So he's been in the non-monogamy world, you know, for most of his adult life. I have identified as pansexual since I was like 16, 17. So there was something always kind of in the back of my head that was like, well, wait, I'm going to have to end up with one person, like, even though I'm attracted to so many different types of people and bodies. Yeah. And so I always kind of had that underlying thought in my head. And so when I met my partner, you know, we met on an app and he had that he was ethically non-monogamous in his profile. So that kind of jumped out at me. I had just gotten out of a relationship where, you know, it was with a woman and, you know, she would get very jealous when other men would just like look at me. And it was by the end of, you know, our relationship kind of going off, you know, she was like, because I was basically telling her, well, there's always going to be a part of me that's also attracted to men and other women and other people. And she was like, well, maybe you should just be non-monogamous then. And then, like, very shortly after, I met Matt. And so we started slow because there was a lot of things that I needed to think about and kind of deal with personally. But, you know, it evolves every day. But I am now in a place where I don't think that I could go back to just monogamy. So
was that transition difficult for you?
Yes. Yeah. I had a lot of inner personal work that I had to do, you know, along with being in a non-monogamous relationship or just, you know, in the poly world, there's jealousy. That's just, we're so, you know, people who grew up in, you know, just surrounded by monogamy, those are just feelings that are there. And so I had to do a lot of work. I'm still doing work to kind of unlearn those feelings and get to the root of, wait, why am I feeling this way? A lot of it involved situations where, like, I'm freaking out on the inside, but sometimes you just have to let things play out. Like, what's the worst that is going to happen? And then play it fully out in your head. Okay, where is my fear at? And where is that coming from? And then how do I deal with that? So it was a lot of, and still, you know, a lot of learning and kind of, you know, looking personally, doing a lot of inner work to kind of get past those inherent feelings that were just always there.
Something you also do a lot of is travel. Where did the traveling, the love for travel come from?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could do more. I from a very early age, I was very focused on academics, and I went to a lot of years of school. I got my bachelor's and then took a year, and then I went to law school, and I was always working full time as well, doing all of those things. And so I never got the chance to go explore and travel. So now that I'm in my 30s, a little bit older, I've kind of tried to take off more time to go explore everything that's out there, just because the world is so big and I have seen so little of it. So a little bit at a time. But yeah, I wish I could travel more.
What do you love about traveling?
Meeting people, and it's kind of two faceted, meeting new people and kind of experiencing new cultures, new foods, but at the same time, meeting people and seeing that when it comes down to it, we're all very similar. We're all struggling, like we're all just trying to create happy lives for ourselves, for our loved ones. And so I think that, you know, I feel like we live in such like a divisive time right now, that to go, you know, across borders into different countries and to see that at the root of it, like we're all humans. I feel like that's lost on a lot of people. So there is that excitement of experiencing something new and seeing new things. And especially being an American, like we're such a young country. So to go and travel and see how old things are and, you know, different foods and things, but then at the end of the day, we're all just people trying to live our best lives. So,
let's jump into the content creation. Like, how did that start for you? How did you get into it?
Yeah. So this was again with my partner Matt, and so we played around in the lifestyle for a few months. And just kind of going to parties, and I was kind of fulfilling like little fantasies that I was having. And then my partner is a filmmaker, and that's what he has, you know, is educated in filmmaking. And so he has a lot of really high quality equipment. And it was actually at a poly event. I met someone who asked me if I'd ever sold my underwear. And I was like, no, but why not? I mean, if it's not hurting you, it's not hurting me, you know. Sure. And so that was kind of the very first like dipping my toe into this kind of like sex work world. And so after I did the, you know, sold him a few things, you know, he asked, oh, do you have any like an online platform or anything? Do you make content of any kind? I was like, well, no, but maybe I should. And so naive I was. I was like, oh, this will be easy. It's not. We learned real quick. I still consider myself a newbie. It's been, I think I had like my first film like collab with someone else in January, end of December of 22. So I have really only been doing this for like a year and a half. But I love it. It's evolved, as I've evolved, and, it's become very clear how much of a job it is, how much work goes into it. And, you know, being in the content world also kind of led me to creating the podcast, because you just realize it's such a stigmatized industry. there's just a lot. I just want to humanize people in the content creation world. And, you know, we're not just the things that you see, and there's so much more work that goes into it. So I feel like there's a lot of avenues to kind of explore that.
Mm. So I guess for people that are behind the scenes, what are some of the work you have to do to create content?
Yeah, I mean, the first one is social media, which to a lot of people is not a job. But if you want to grow your following organically, you have to put yourself out there. And so there, you know, you have all of these different social media accounts. You are trying to kind of create your brand. So it's also a huge part of it is being consistency. So posting every day on different platforms, kind of checking the analytics, seeing what platforms you do well on, as you grow your fan base, seeing what they want to see of you. So that's one aspect, is basically just having to be constantly online. If you are going to make content with other people, there is, you know, reaching out, there's coordinating, there's scheduling, getting frequently tested, and then, you know, scheduling your content. And there's editing, there's making promos, there's, again, kind of filtering all of the, you know, what your fans like, what does well on your different sales platforms, which platforms work better, which, you know, that they're, each of these platforms take a certain percentage of what you make. And so, you know, and the way that you can structure like your online platforms, there's different business models you can use. It's like, do you do a certain subscription price and then have, you know, no pay-per-view, or have also a free page? And so also kind of changing things up, and and the consistency of needing to be your brand and find what works. And so all of that is always happening in the backgrounds. You know, so you see, someone sees like a 15, 20 minute video, but the work that went into that is just hours and hours and hours of work. So, yeah, I will never stop being a huge advocate that this is a job.
Talking about that, I guess the people you collab with, how do you pick them? Is there a particular thing you go for? Are they, I guess, like rules or whatever, like how do you decide the people you collab with on your content?
Sure. So a lot of people I've met through have been by like referral. So I work with someone, and then, you know, if someone else reaches out to me, I see that those two people, maybe I haven't worked with one of them, but they have worked together. So I'll just ask, you know, how were they? I also, like, I have certain red flags, or, you know, if someone just messages me like, hey, let's collab, that's not what a collaboration is. Like, if I don't know you, if I haven't worked with you, if you come at me with, you know, actually like a well put together message, like here's where I'm from, here's some people that I've worked with, here's the type of content that I make, and then, you know, other red flags are they don't want to talk about boundaries. So like, I have my do's and don'ts list. I have, I require a fresh STI test. As long as people are respectful, I don't have like a particular type or look of person. Again, being pansexual, I try to also work across like the color scheme, across body type, across gender identification. I try to change things up in that way. There are a lot of, the industry right now is kind of, there's a lot of people that have like been faking tests and things. So I know that I've become a lot more particular about who
I
work with.
Why would anyone do that? Like, what?
Yep. So now it's, I mean, if you go to an approved like testing place, usually they'll give you like a little QR code. So now it's like, okay, I got to either watch you log in, I got to scan that myself. Cause there are people out there who will fake tests just to, you know, sleep with other people on camera, which is terrible.
Holy shit. Wow. Yeah. That kind of just slapped.
That's
in
a real
face.
Thing that is happening right now. Yeah.
I mean, wow. Okay. So, you mentioned about the work part of it. Do you like, I guess, does it take the fun out of the sex itself?
I wouldn't say no, it doesn't take the fun out of it. I mean, it makes you appreciate the work a lot more, I think. It's also, again, because you're constantly having to kind of change, you're testing things a lot, testing things that work and don't work. So sometimes it's difficult. You know, all of this planning goes into a shoot and then it doesn't go, it doesn't do well, it doesn't perform well, it doesn't sell well. That's kind of a sucky part of it. That's the not so fun part. But I think that especially now, I try and focus on creating things that I want to see that make me happy. So even the planning part of it, like the picking the outfit and little things that still bring joy to it. And just like any other job, you're going to have bad days, you're going to have good days. Like there are going to
True.
be aspects that you don't like and other things that kind of get you excited. And so I would kind of analogize it to just another job that people have. This one is just having sex with people on camera, but that can be very fun.
To talking about the fun and the not so fun thing, if you wanna, I mean, it doesn't have to be in order, but if you wanna, like, say, when it comes to content, these are like your top four things that all day, every day, these are the things you love. What would your top four type of content creating would be?
I mean, I really do. I've made so many friends. I've made so many people that just really met so many fascinating people. I think meeting people and being able to talk with other people who know like the struggle, who know what it's like to be in the industry. There's a very like a lot of camaraderie in that. Also getting new like outfits and things and kind of getting dressed up, and I really like to do that. That's really fun. Meeting like getting good fans that because I love chatting with my fans. I love getting to know them, and so actually talking to people that I know a lot of people go on to like sext and just be horny online, but I actually have really good, thoughtful conversations with some of my fans that have now been around for a really long time. So creating those relationships, which I feel like was kind of the purpose of these platforms where you can chat directly, with people that you like to see. And thinking of new ideas for things like, oh, I really, like recently I was like, I've really been wanting to do a kitchen scene. I don't have a scene where it's like in a kitchen and I'm like, hoisted up onto the counter. And then over the weekend, I was doing a lot of filming and I was like, I got to do a kitchen scene. So that was like really seems silly, but like that was like super fun and exciting for me. So I think those would be a few of my favorite parts of it.
Now, like, how much, I know you said a lot of work goes, but how much time also goes into, like, between shoots and prep and all those things?
Before like prep for me is like so I start getting ready like 2 hours before a shoot starts if if I'm hosting it, or like 3 hours if I have to travel for it. Even before that, there's going to get tested, so a few days before that, so you're really kind of prepping a long time before the shoot starts. If I'm working with someone and they have like a particular scene idea in mind, if it's like two girls and a guy, do we want to coordinate on outfits, like things that will look good in the scene? So you're always thinking about, how am I going to do my makeup, or what am I going to wear, or like, oh, I shouldn't wear these earrings, they can get caught. And then the prep of, once you start filming, then, if we have the raw footage, there's the editing, the making clips, the scheduling, the posts, talking, thinking about pricing and the timing of things. So there's always a lot that goes in prep and post. And fortunately, my partner does a lot of like the editing and helps me with social media and stuff. So I'm fortunate not to do it all on my own, but a lot of people do it all by themselves. So, yeah.
I mean, it is great when you have like someone that understands you and supports the thing you do, and you kind of like in the trenches with each other. You know, it's like you're right at the battlefront together.
Yes.
So you do all these things. What are things you then do when you want to relax?
Oh, when I want to relax, I love to cook. Cooking is always fun. I love art. I love doing art. I have tattoos, but I also tattoo like myself. So I have like this I did on myself, and I have like little hand tattoos, and I've tattooed a few other people. So that would be another like little dream side job, is to be an actual like a licensed tattoo artist. I like to paint, draw, work with my hands, you know. I used to be a runner, and then running became, now I have sex as exercise, so which is a workout, let me tell you.
So how would you compare that to Rainy and running, and how do you explain for, like, you know, an alien just came to it, and like, how is sex exercise?
Oh, cardio. You know, you gotta have the stamina. You know, if you've got like a little pillow princess on your hands and you're doing all the work, and you got a lot of, and the positions, like, you know, if you want to get a good shot, like, all right, arch your back. And then the next day I'm like, oh God, my back and my knees. And it is like a full body. It could be a full body workout for sure. Yep.
Mm. Yeah. No, it's always great talking to you. And I was wondering, like, someone is out there listening and they're considering either creating content or getting into it, what advice would you have to share?
I think the first piece of advice would be consistency. Like, you're going to start small, but again, people look at consistency. So post something every day, you know, on at least one of your platforms. And even if it's just like a shit post or just something stupid, or it's not your favorite, just post something every day. And as you are growing, take a look at your different platforms, figure out like what's doing well for you, you know, on social media and on a paid platform, if you're on a paid platform, but also just make sure that everything you're doing makes you happy. Like, you're going to have bad days. You're going to come into contact with not great people. But just, and stay authentic, stay true to yourself. Don't try to be someone else. You know, there are many success stories out there of people who all of a sudden they started and 3 weeks later they're in like top 1%, and those things happen, but they are very much like the outlier. They are very rare. This does come with a lot of work. Be creative. Just be yourself, really, is a main piece of advice, because your fans want to see and know you. That's why they're there. So just, and it, doing that makes it easier to continue, because it can get exhausting. Like, a year out, you're not at the point that you thought that you would be. But I know many creators who are just like, I didn't see a lot of success until like year 4 or year 3 or 4. So if it is something that you really want to do, know that you will probably need to be in it for the long haul in order to see a lot of success.
And if you were to theorize why people, like, you know, do things like Duncan content creators, what would your theory be?
It just feels so ironic that the porn industry is like a $1 billion industry with like Pornhub and Brazzers, but there's a stigma of sex, of just talking positively about sex. I think, you know, it comes down to not wanting to control women. Like, you have no problem watching this woman get railed for free on Pornhub, but because she has made the same piece of content and is charging directly for it and making her own money, now all of a sudden, oh, it's depraved. It's terrible. So, like, it doesn't, if you actually, you know, think it out, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, the male creators also have a very hard time, you know, growing in the industry. So totally fine admitting that. But yeah, I think there's just this stigma around sex work and like, you know, selling your body. But in my mind, I'm like, well, when I'm doing corporate work, I am I am valuing my brain. Just because I'm also valuing my body, somehow that's worse. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But, and then there's also projection of people who are not happy with their own sex lives. They wish they could be, you know, doing these things, or they feel insecure about their own attractiveness, which, and I will say, no matter what you look like, no matter what your body type is, there is an audience for you. Like, Any person, like, there will be an audience for you. It's just that fear of like putting yourself out there, because yeah, it's like people get doxxed and people get outed and then they lose their jobs, like, because it's still considered just this like lewd act and something depraved. And even though it's sex work is like literally one of the oldest professions in the world. So I can't make full sense of it. Those are kind of a few of my theories. Hoping that conversations like this will, you know, kind of humanize people, and just want people, yeah, I want people to know how much of a job it is, how much work it is. And it's not anything like, I'm not ashamed of it. Yeah. People shouldn't be.
Yeah,
either.
No. And I think the work you're doing with the birds and the bee is adding to that conversation for sure.
Yeah.
'Cause like there was an episode you talked, I can't remember the guest, but he was talking about kind of being fetishized for his color. Mm-hmm. And it was really enlightening. I really loved that episode. I wanted to say thank you for sharing, definitely. And thanks for coming to the sanctuary today, Chelsea.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I appreciate that, what you're doing as well. Every little bit that's added to the conversation matters. So good stuff.